Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. We'll look at verses 1 through 18. John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in by another way is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. And so there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and guess that every single one of you in this room, unless you're not old enough to answer the phone, has had that awful experience of hearing the phone ring or feeling it vibrate, going to answer it, expecting to have a pleasant conversation with someone on the other end, only to find that a telemarketer has gotten a hold of you. And you know exactly what happens. They try to sell you something, or they tell you you've won something, which is just their way of entry to then try to sell you something. Or maybe they try to get you to contribute money to support something. And it can be really annoying, especially if they don't listen when you repeatedly tell them you're not interested or you don't want to talk to them. And sometimes, I think if we're honest, we're tempted or maybe even engage in some unchristlike behavior when this happens. And so it's the kind of thing that we want to avoid. And so I want to, this morning, give you some free advice. And remember, you get what you pay for. But some free advice on how to avoid those kinds of situations. The first thing that I would tell you to do if a telemarketer calls is just don't answer the phone. You know, in the late, I think it was in the 90s, the slogan came out, "What would WWJD, what would Jesus do?" And it was kind of a way of figuring out how Jesus would navigate certain situations. Well, in this case, I would not ask what would Jesus do, because he would probably answer the phone. You know, I'm sure there's a contemporary translation that says, like, "If you dial, I will answer." But we're not as patient. We're not as compassionate. We're working to become that, but we're not yet. And so just don't answer the phone. Now, before we had caller ID, it was hard to know who was calling, and you wouldn't want to miss an important call. But now that we have caller ID, you can look at that thing, and if you don't recognize the number, just don't pick it up. And a big, a special help in this is the area code. You can see if they're calling from somewhere like, say, Delaware, which is where I think 99% of telemarketers live. And if you see that place and you think, you know, I don't know anyone who lives in Delaware, then that's a clue. You know, if my own grandmother lived in Delaware, I would never answer it if it came from Delaware. But that doesn't filter out all of the calls, because telemarketers have gotten smart, and technology now makes it possible for them to make a call from anywhere in the world and make it appear as if it's local. So you'll see that call, you'll see that the 336 area code, and you'll think, well, maybe I know somebody. You know, this might be somebody I know, and you answer it, and they trick you. And so if that doesn't work, here's my second piece of advice. Try to find out immediately if they know you. if they know your name. Now, in this case, in my case, it's easy because my name gets mispronounced quite a bit. And I know that if someone mispronounces my name, that they probably don't know me. And I've heard everything from, you know, Geoff, Geoffrey, Gregory, which isn't a bad name, but it's not my name, Godfrey, Goofrey. And if you're thinking, you know what, on the way out the door, I'm going to call him that, just don't. Because, you know, I will talk about you in the next sermon. But I've heard it all, and that's a dead giveaway for me if they don't know how to pronounce my name. And you know, I once had a telemarketer spend about 5 minutes trying to convince me that my name was spelled wrong. And so that was really hard to not engage in unChrist-like behavior, but I didn't buy what she was selling. But my point is, if someone doesn't know your name, if they don't know you, they're probably a telemarketer, and as soon as you figure that out, just cut them off mid-sentence because they have a script they're reading from and end the call as quickly and politely as possible. And as I mentioned before, if you don't recognize the number, just don't answer. I wish I could take credit for these profound words of wisdom, but I can't. And I'm a little embarrassed to admit where I heard them. You may have already guessed, so I'll just tell you. A sheep told me, sort of. And this is embarrassing because sheep are not really that intelligent. You know, I know that, but you know, some of you know that more than I do. You own sheep, or you know people that own sheep. I've never owned a sheep. You know, I'm getting new to this country living, and I keep you up to date. You know, I have a dog and now two cats, and we used to have several mice and moles, but they're gone because of the cats. But I don't have a sheep. My father and my in-laws have goats, which I think are like sheep. Actually, yesterday I had to feed them. And they really didn't care that I waited until I woke up at 9:30. That's not true, the part about them not caring. But we had a discussion one time in men's Sunday school last week about whether sheep and goats are that different, or which one was smarter. And I don't know if we reached a conclusion, but I'm pretty sure that we grew spiritually as a result of that conversation. But what I'm trying to tell you is you know, sheep don't know a whole lot. But one thing sheep do know is that there are people out there that are trying to hurt them. There are people and things out there that want to do them harm. And they know that if that person doesn't know their name, if they don't know them, if the sheep, if they don't recognize them, then it's best to avoid them. And one thing they also know is that if someone, on the other hand, does know their name, if they do know them, and if they recognize that person, then they can trust them. Then they should follow them. Then they will take care of them. You know, Jesus calls us sheep, you know, every single one of us. There are places in the scripture that talk about the pastor as the shepherd and the rest of you all as the sheep. But in this case, it's all of us. I'm in this with you together. We are all sheep. So this is from one sheep to another. And we might not like to think of ourselves as sheep, you know, because they're not intelligent, but I think if we're honest and we think about some of the decisions we've made, you know, behaviors we've engaged in, then it's an accurate description. We're kind of like sheep. And while Jesus calls us sheep, and that might sound like bad news, the good news is he calls himself our good shepherd. And I wanted to talk with you just a few minutes about what that means. You know, as our good shepherd, Jesus knows our name. You know, remember, we're talking about the Lord of all creation here. And sometimes the amazing truth of this, just, you know, kind of in one ear and out the other, we don't really grasp this, but we're talking about the person who hung the stars in the sky and who created all that is unseen and unseen. He knows our name. Like, he knows my name and he knows your name. And by name, I mean so much more than what people call us. You know, when we choose a name, we don't really think a whole lot about it. Maybe it's a family name. You know, my mother majored in English, and so she picked my name after the poet Geoffrey Chaucer, which is maybe one of you has heard of, and just thought that she'd make my life difficult. When I was growing up, I told myself many times, if I ever have children, I will not give them weird names. Whoops. But, you know, like what my mom said to me, when people make fun of you, it builds character, right? So, I guess. But in the Bible, a person's name meant so much more than that. It was their whole identity. It was who they were at the very core of their being. You know, when we say Jesus knows our name, it means that he knows us intimately. He knows everything about us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. You know, the psalmist talks about how God knows us so well that he knows the number of hairs on our head, which is more impressive for some people than others. But he knows our thoughts before we form them into words. You know, when a thought, before the word is on the tip of our tongue, he knows it completely. He knows what makes us laugh, what makes us cry, what makes us happy, what makes us sad. You know, he knows what excites us. He knows what makes us bored. He knows that some of you are bored right now. And I know that too, and I'm just a sheep. It's pretty obvious. He knows everything we've ever done, the good and the bad. He knows all that we're capable of, the good and the bad. And yet, knowing us in this way, he still loves us deeply, cares about us deeply. You know, as our good shepherd, we know his voice and he knows ours. When Jesus speaks to our hearts, we recognize his voice even before we know his name. You know, I believe that Jesus speaks to us even before we know who he is or have ever even heard of him. I believe that in the darkness of the womb, Jesus speaks to us. You know, in the things that he has made, in his creation, everything that we see, it tells us something about God. God speaking to us, telling us how amazing he is and how incredible he is and how much he loves us and cares for us. In moments of tragedy, he comforts us with his voice. In moments of celebration, he celebrates with us. And there comes a day when God reveals to us the identity of the voice that we've been hearing, and it's then that we realize this voice belongs to Jesus. You know, there's a country song called Little Girl by John Michael Montgomery, at several years old now. Maybe you've heard it, but it talks about this little girl who grows up in a home where God seems absent. Her parents had never took her to church. They often fought with each other. There were drugs and alcohol involved. And when they'd get into some serious fighting, she would hide behind the couch in their living room as kind of her safe space. And there's one particular night, the father came home and he was more drunk than usual. And in a rage, he shot the mother and then turned the gun on himself. The little girl was adopted and taken to a family that loved her and took her to church. And her Sunday school teacher knew it was the very first day that she'd ever been in church. And so she showed her a picture of Jesus and said, do you know this man? He was there on a cross. She said, I don't know his name, but I know he's not on the cross because he was beside me behind the couch when my parents died. And I know that's just a story. I don't think it's a true story, but I do believe it describes this reality that Jesus speaks to us, these words of love and compassion and care, even before we know him. And when we officially meet him, like that little girl, he's not a stranger. We just finally know his name. And just as we know his voice, he knows our voice. He hears us when we cry out to him. He hears us when we call to him. As our good shepherd, he laid down his life for us. You know, sheep have all kinds of natural predators. And even when these things threaten to undo them, when they're not, they have their own ways of undoing themselves. You know, sheep wander off by themselves. They walk too closely to the edge of a cliff. They put themselves near a rushing river. They put their lives in danger. And the good shepherd is always watching, always alert, trying to protect them, willing to put himself on the line in order to save his sheep. And our greatest enemy, our greatest threat, of course, is death. Results in our sin, or is a consequence of our sin. And Jesus took our sin upon himself. He He received the sentence of death that we deserve so that we could receive forgiveness and healing and transformation. As a good shepherd, he leads us into life. And not just any life, but an abundant life. The 23rd Psalm comes to mind, when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We shall have everything that we need when the Lord is our shepherd, and then some. He leads us beside still waters, and he walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He comforts us. He protects us. He's there for us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so for all these reasons, it would just make sense, even to a sheep, that we follow him. And we do. Sometimes we do, but sometimes we don't. Why is that? If we know that he perfectly fulfills the criteria of a good shepherd, why do we sometimes try to make our own way? Why do we sometimes listen to unfamiliar voices? Why do we sometimes follow after people who do not know our name? I really don't know the answer to that question. I wish I could tell you. I wish I knew the reason for decisions that I've made. I wish I knew why people made decisions that they make. But I don't. But what I do know is that sometimes we do choose to not follow our shepherd, and we suffer the consequences. We do injury to ourselves and to others, and then we act surprised. We say we're only sheep. How are we supposed to know that things out there could hurt us and things out there could harm us, that there are things out there that are seeking to kill and steal and destroy? But even sheep know that. And we do too. We just sometimes choose to ignore that truth that is right there in front of us. But even when we are bad sheep, Jesus does not cease to be our good shepherd. As our good shepherd, when we stray, when we listen to those unfamiliar voices, when we follow after those who do not know our name, our good shepherd searches diligently for us. He pursues us with his grace, and he will not stop until he finds us, picks us up, and carries us home. There's some here this morning, perhaps, who've never made the Lord their good shepherd. You have made your own way in this world. You have made your own choices. You have determined your own destiny. How is that working out for you? The best life a sheep could have is to follow their good shepherd. We should make that choice. You can make that choice today. Enter through the gate that leads to salvation. There are some here this morning who would say, the Lord is my shepherd, but I'm really not following him. I haven't followed him this week. I've allowed other people to lead me. I've been following after my own desires, my own temptations. All you need to do is stop and turn around, and you'll find your good shepherd right behind you, ready to lead you home. But all of us need help from time to time to stay the course. We need strength and we need nourishment to sustain us as we follow our good shepherd. No matter where you are this morning, grace is the answer. Grace is always the answer. And today we get to receive grace in a special way through the sacrament of communion. And as our ushers are coming forward, I'll remind you that we, here at Brick, we have an open table. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be perfect. If that was the case, we'd be waiting here a long time. It would go bad before we could participate. All you have to do is be among those who acknowledge your need for grace. And grace is here for the taking.